everybody, and welcome to our online service. This morning's sermon is titled Our Battle, and it's a continuation of last week where we started at looking at the fact that we are God's resistance, the resistance in this world called the church, and we have a battle to fight, and we're going to continue on that theme this morning. But before we do, let us just close our eyes in prayer. Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have to come to you knowing that you are with us, that you love us, and that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness through your Spirit. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us this morning, that you will give us insight and revelation into your will and purpose for us, and that we may have the boldness to live it so that you may be glorified through it. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we spoke about the fact that we are the resistance in this world controlled by the devil. We see in James chapter 4 from verse 7, the word of God says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You see, there are two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, and they are in opposition to one another. And yet, even though they are not primarily physical but spiritual, they also manifest in the physical world. This battle, however, is not for land and country, but it is for the hearts and minds of people. The battle is for the salvation of souls. Now, on the earth, on the one side, we have the world. Again, not a physical, but primarily that what is controlled by Satan and the sinful nature. As we read in 1 John 2 from verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Continues so powerfully in 1 John 5 verse 19, "For we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." Christ came into the world, into the enemy's territory to establish salvation for mankind that was under the control and the power of sin and death. And so too, we once were part of the world and thus enemies of God. But God, through His grace, saved us. He saved us, as we read so powerfully in Ephesians 2 from verse 1. He says, "And you He made alive who were dead in the trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But Christ, through his death and resurrection, broke the power of sin and death that kept us bondage, gave man the opportunity to be redeemed, to choose in which side will he stand, in which kingdom will he reside. Those who responded to God's sacrifice are born again by grace through faith. We are saved, converted from the one kingdom into the other, out of this world, into the kingdom of God. Jesus came to establish that redemption for man, but then left, went back to the Father, leaving us behind in this world. And we looked at that last week, Jesus' prayer to the Father in John 17 from verse 14. Jesus says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. For they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." You see, Jesus is leaving us behind. It is so challenging to see, as Jesus came into the world, into enemy's territory, to disarm and make a public spectacle of the devil and all his hordes, disarming them and establishing the church, and then go back to the Father, leaving his disciples behind with the same commission that he received from the Father. But he didn't leave us alone. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower us, to equip us, to fulfill the commission, the purpose of us being here while we're waiting for His return, to finish this battle once and for all. He is leaving us behind, but not alone. He has given us the Holy Spirit, the keys of the kingdom, and He has given us a commission, which so powerfully we see in Matthew 28. And the Great Commission starts not in verse 19, go therefore, but in verse 18, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to me. How powerful. All authority in heaven and on earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. So powerfully, Jesus says, go and multiply. Recruit more to the resistance, the church, and wait for my return when we will finish this once and for all. But know this, it is a battle until He returns. It is not a physical one against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. And therefore, our weapons are also different as well as the way we fight. It is different to a physical war. It is different as to physical weapons. And it is also different in the way we use it. Because this battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So I want us to read again with all that in mind, Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The imagery that Paul uses in this passage is so powerful as he uses the imagery of a Roman soldier. The audience not only had a clear picture in their mind of a Roman soldier, but also the weapons and tactics of a Roman army and the way of war at the time. You see, the warfare of the time was not passive and distant, like today we send drones to fire on our enemy while we ourselves are far away. No, it was close and brutal. Two opposing sides storming each other, the one bracing for impact as the other one attacks. Therefore, it's so powerful when we read what Paul says. Therefore, having done everything to stand against the attack, stand therefore, but not unarmed. God doesn't call us to fight this battle unarmed. He calls us to put on the whole armor of God, taking up the weapons of God to fight this battle. It is not primarily a physical, but a spiritual battle. But one thing is for sure, it is not a passive battle. And if this battle is not physical, but spiritually, we need to ask ourselves, how do we fight it? The Bible speaks so powerfully of the armor and the weapons of God. They are truth, righteousness, faith, the gospel, salvation, the Word of God, and prayer. The battle is for the hearts and minds of people, the salvation of souls. But the question is, how do we fight this battle with these things? How do we fight this battle? How do we fight with truth? How do we fight with righteousness? How do we fight with the gospel? How do we fight with faith that leads to salvation through the word of God? And of course, most powerfully, how do we fight with prayer? We are in a battle to win hearts and minds for Christ. With the truth, the righteousness, the gospel, and faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we have been given the gospel, a commission, and a promise. The Apostle Paul so powerfully traveled all the way to Rome, to the Caesar, the center of the power of the known world, and he did not march there with an army, he did not take weapons with him, because he had something far more powerful. He had the gospel. And not many years later, that pagan Roman Empire became Christian. And that Christian Empire transformed the Western world, shaped it. But this is an ongoing battle. And today, that same Western world has become pagan again. Because it's an ongoing battle. An ongoing battle for the hearts and minds of men and women and children. It's an ongoing battle for your heart and mind, for your children's heart and mind, and for your grandchildren's. And if we are not actively fighting in it, let me tell you this, be sure of this, the other side is actively fighting for it. He's actively fighting for the hearts and minds of humanity. And you see it all over the news, the television, the culture, everything is a battle for the hearts and minds, attacking the truth, salvation, the gospel, righteousness. And we can list all the things that we so are bombarded with every day. It is an ongoing battle that God called us to engage with, given us the weapons. And this is what we want to equip ourselves with. How do we fight with these things? How do we fight with truth? How do we fight with righteousness? How do we fight with the gospel? How do we fight with prayer? Because know this, if we are not armed, if we do not have the armor ready, if we are not vigilant, God warns us we will not be able to stand in the day of evil. The weapons remain the same. The same weapons that God used in Acts is still the same weapons available to us today. It is truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. And the way we use these weapons remain the same. The commission given to us remains the same. The spirit that empowers us, enables us, remains the same. And you know what? The end game, the destiny of the church is already determined. And I want to end up with these scriptures. It says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. James 4 verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 John 5 verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Revelation 12 verse 11 says, and they overcome him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. That is where we are going as a church. Not passively standing at the side, but actively being armored with the armor of God and the weapons of God, engaging in this battle. So that the church will not just stand, but will advance, because that is its purpose. And guess what? The gates of hell, it will not prevail against it. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Because He is greater than anything outside of us, and He is now within us. And for the next couple of weeks, that is what we're going to do. We're going to look at these weapons, at this armor that God has given us, and how to use it. How to actively engage for the salvation of souls, for the hearts and minds of people, so that we will not just be able to stand, but that we'll be able to advance for His glory, for His kingdom, and that we may share ultimately in the glory of that victory when He returns. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You for Your word that gives us not just insight, but empowers us to be able to know Your will and to do it through your Spirit that lives within us, that quickens us, enables us to do what you desire us to. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that as we continue in this journey to learn from you, Holy Spirit, that you will teach us, as you did with David, teach our fingers for war, that we will be able not just to stand, but to overcome as you called us to be overcomers, so that we may share in this glory when you return, so that you may be glorified in everything that we do. So Lord, we ask you, Lord, we do not know these things, and we ask you during these weeks to come that you will show us, teach us, train us, God, and grant us your strength to be successful in advancing your kingdom in the way you want us to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, just a few announcements. Bible school, we're very excited, is starting on the 23rd of February. It will start at 6:45, 6:45, right here at the church venue. Please come enroll. The first couple of sessions are absolutely free if you want to check it out. But if you remain, it will change your life. That's why we do it. And then also, we have the Walk Like Jesus midweek meeting at 6:30 here at the church again this coming Wednesday. And then next Sunday, or Sunday in a week, we're going to have a worship service at church at 6:30. Please join us for that. It's just a service where we just come together and worship the Lord in our allocated spaces and regulations. But we want to encourage you to come and worship with us next Sunday, 6:30. It's a worship evening. Hope to see you there. May God bless you.